Well, with technology constantly changing, we're going to be talking about how classrooms are blending innovations with teaching, all the better to connect with students. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today will be talking about trends in technology and their impact on education. She's with us by phone, Kona Jones, a director of online learning. She coordinates Faculty Academy at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. She's also a Canvas coach and advocate, contributing extensively in the online Canvas community and elsewhere. Do you know that term, Canvas? If you're a parent, you may not know it yet, but you'll learn about it today on the show. So anyway, how does technology affect the way you learn or maybe the way you teach others? Do you think there's too much focus on technology in our schools or maybe not enough? I hope you'll join in the conversation. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. What technology questions do you have as it relates to education? Love to hear from you. And Kona Jones, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. I'm honored and happy to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Canvas. Should we start with Canvas?
Sure. We jump in wherever you want.
Let's just jump into that because that's a term that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, but there are probably equally as many who aren't familiar with it. Talk about Canvas.
So Canvas is actually considered a learning management platform. So it allows schools to build their digital learning ecosystem. And so what that means is that what teachers can do is build their course, and that can be handouts, links to outside resources, videos, assignments, so places where students can go to submit assignments, including, they can have the directions. It's kind of their online grade book. It's a place where they can work with students on mastery learning. It means and can be so many different things, but this is a specific platform that faculty and schools can adopt and then use with all of their students.
Yeah, and you are a Canvas coach and advocate. What all is entailed with that?
Oh, well, what that means is Canvas actually has an extremely robust online community. So similar to maybe if you've got a hobby or something that you enjoy doing, you might have a website you go to where there's online forums where people can ask questions and get help. Well, Canvas has something similar, and they call it their community. And in the community, anyone who uses Canvas, and it doesn't matter whether it's a paid or free, whether you're a faculty, instructional designer, a student even, you can go and you can both look at their resources, their guides, their videos, just their amazing things they've got there. But you can also ask questions. You can post if you've done some amazing, cool thing and you want other people to know about it, you can post. And then people have conversations, either helping each other out or saying, wow, that's really amazing. Have you thought about something this way or what about that? And what I do as a coach is that I kind of help oversee that and make sure that things are moving along. I help answer questions. I'm just really good at I might not know the answer, but I often know where you can find the answer. Mm-hmm. And so making that connection.
And how difficult is it to learn to use?
Actually, it's pretty straightforward and easy. The college that I've at right now, we've been using it for 7 years. And honestly, I was worried that first semester we made that switch, and it was kind of just like crickets. You could hear, I was waiting for the faculty to be in my office. I was waiting for students to call. And it just worked. It just did what it was supposed to do, and everyone was happy. I routinely, every year, I send out a satisfaction survey and ask faculty and students, how easy is this? How, is it working for you? And we routinely get, low, mid 90% satisfaction overall for everything. So it's easy to use. It's easy for the adoption and then ongoing. It does what it's supposed to do.
And just to follow up one more question, what was the most interesting takeaway? Was there something that surprised you aside from how easy it was for people to get to use? Or what was a good positive takeaway from Canvas?
I think one of the biggest things, and it also helped when we decided on which learning management platform we were going to switch to, is that Canvas as a company has a culture, and their culture is one where education and the students is first. And that means that all of their decisions really focus on what's best for our students. Then they look at faculty, and then they think about admins. But for me, my personal philosophy is students are first, and it really aligned with that culture of Canvas. But along with that, they've got a culture where if they make a mistake, they fess up and they fix it, and they do it quickly. And that speaks very highly to me and to a company I would want to do business with.
Talking today with Kona Jones, Director of Online Learning. She coordinates a Faculty Academy at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois, as we visit with her about technology and education, certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. What have your experiences been with technology as it relates to either yourself or your children, perhaps, who are students? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's back up, take a broader look, perhaps, at the use of technology in our classroom, not only at the college level, but across all education levels. First, I know some people have said, "Oh, there's what's wrong with a blackboard? You know, why do we have to have all this technology?"
That's a good question. I will say that I am a strong believer that we shouldn't use technology for the sake of using technology. Sometimes the chalkboard works just fine. My husband's a college professor, teaches math, and you would have to take his chalkboard away from him kicking and screaming. So it's not that I don't believe that a chalkboard doesn't serve its purpose, but likewise, technology serves its purpose. There's things that, I mean, just thinking from where I started in school, in elementary and junior high school, and then to where my kids are at, it's a different environment. It's a different, I mean, the job market is different. My job I hold right now didn't exist when I was in school. Likewise, I firmly believe the jobs that my children will probably have don't exist, haven't even been thought of potentially. And where a lot of those jobs are taking place and what they really need is technology. They need to understand it. They need to know how to use it, and they need to know how to use it in an educated way. So we're not talking surfing the web and, you know, being on Twitter. We're talking about being able to, you know, surf and have a purpose and be able to find information and understand it and be able to apply it and know if they need to do deeper searching. And for me, that's what's so important about making sure we're using that technology appropriately and training our students of how to use it correctly.
Yeah. What are some of the emerging trends that we're seeing?
Oh, gosh, there's so many really amazing ones out there. So higher ed, they kind of are really looking at that increased focus on student success. So it's not just can we get the kids in the classroom, but what can we do to help make sure they're successful? Obviously, building up online courses and programs, making those data-driven decisions, extending some of those blended and project-based personalized learning, which I personally love and use myself. Micro-credentialing, so if you've heard of badges and online badges, that's something that's becoming really super popular. And then just kind of the pathways to jobs and business partnerships. So how can we take what we're teaching our students in the classroom and get them to where they make that direct leap and where, in fact, I know some actual businesses that are using Canvas in their business. And so if students are using it in elementary, then they use it higher ed, and then they're going to use it in their business. So it's really an all-the-way-through thing. For K-12, it's also that kind of extended blended, that project-based personalized as well. It's also kind of getting into the social-emotional learning, which you might not think for technology, but it really is kind of starting to integrate that in. It's getting into retention of good teachers, college and career readiness, competency and standard-based assessment, which, I mean, it might not be wonderful, but it is something that we are working towards.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know. There's a lot going on. I'm sorry. Just right now, I mean, if you're in education right now, it's just, there's so much going on. It's just amazing.
What about the use of computers? Every child in my daughter's high school, for example, they have a school computer that they take home and back and forth, and so a lot of assignments are even on that computer.
Yeah, that is a very popular trend. I think most of our high schools in my area as well, the kids are getting iPads. My daughter's elementary school, they get a Chromebook in fourth grade. And I mean, that I was like, fourth grade? I was like, wow, they start learning to type and they get their Chromebook that they use while they're in school. And for me, I really see the importance of the students understanding that educational value of technology. My daughter included, she comes home, she plays her Minecraft, you know, she gets on the iPad and has her different games that she wants to play or watch YouTube. So students kind of associate technology with fun stuff, but I think it's important to make sure they understand how to use it for the educational purposes, because that's what's going to really carry them through when they're trying to use it to write papers and research things, and even maybe get into coding or something like that. So for me, I like that they're integrating it in for these educational purposes, because I think it's just better preparing them for higher ed and then the workplace.
Let's give William and Racine a chance to join in. Hi, William. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Long-time listener. I'm the president of the Midwest College of Oriental Medicine. We're the acupuncture and Chinese medicine school in southeastern Wisconsin. And we adopted Canvas as one of the very first acupuncture colleges to offer online classes about 3 years ago. It's been a phenomenal platform for us. And then we added a new platform called YellowDig to replace the discussion boards. And it's an auto-grading discussion platform. So we've been using this now for 3 or 4 years. It's been highly effective. And Canvas, like the woman said, is phenomenal. Their customer service, their support is great. It's been just a wonderful platform for us.
William, thanks a lot for calling. A comment, Kona.
Honestly, I was writing down YellowDig as he was saying that because I hadn't heard of that integration with Canvas. So now I've got some homework to do. I'm actually really excited. It's great to hear that he had such a wonderful experience. But honestly, when you hear from people, it normally is a good experience. And so it's wonderful to hear. But yeah, YellowDig, I am writing that down and I'm going to be doing some research as soon as we get off the phone.
There you go. Well, you're going to have a chance to do that right now, Kona, because we are going to take a look at the news and weather here coming up. Kona Jones is Director of Online Learning. She coordinates Faculty Academy at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois, also a Canvas coach and advocate, contributing extensively in the online Canvas community and elsewhere. So what do you see as the benefits and drawbacks to incorporating technology into the classroom? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Back with our guest right after this look at the news. Stay with us.
I can tell that we are going to be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are going to be friends. Walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are.
Nice song to get us into the last segment of our program today as we talk about technology in education. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network, helping us understand the relationship between technology and education. We have Kona Jones. Kona, Director of Online Learning, and coordinates the Faculty Academy at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. She's also a Canvas coach and advocate, contributing extensively in the online Canvas community and elsewhere. So what do you see as the benefits or drawbacks to incorporating technology into the classroom? Join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kona, is there a sweet spot in terms of the balance between keeping up with the latest innovations and then taking a more traditional approach to learning and teaching?
I think a lot of it has to do with the teacher personality and the teacher themselves, as well as maybe what they're doing. If a teacher is very uncomfortable with the technology, then I would start slow and kind of ease into it. Because if you just tried to just jump right in and stay on top of the latest, greatest things, it probably wouldn't be a great experience for that teacher or the students. But if you're a teacher who's already embraced technology, you know, you've got all the latest gadgets and you are on top of it, then I would say, sure, jump on in and see how things go. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I really think it's an individual, personal thing for the teacher and then maybe even for their class and what they're doing.
And what about from the student side? The students probably are happy to grab onto any innovation that comes along, most of them.
Most of the time you would think so. And the funny thing is, I think maybe our K-12 students might be a little bit more into it. I know my daughter personally, she's in second grade, and anytime they get to use technology and learn, it's to her, she's like, it's not learning, it's just like having fun and playing games. And I'm like, that's great. You know, keep doing that. But honestly, when we get into higher ed, sometimes you get students who aren't as open to using the technology. They want more of that in class on the chalkboard. And so I think once again, it also just depends on the student and sometimes their preference for how they like to learn things.
Ryan in Monroe emailed to ask your perspective on the financial costs associated with programs like Canvas, as opposed to free services like Google Classroom. He's used Schoolology, and is a paid program similar to Canvas extensively, and found that it was not as user-friendly as Google Classroom, which is free for schools to use and integrates more smoothly with Google Docs and Chromebooks.
Well, the wonderful thing about Canvas is that you can try it for free. And not only try it, but I know lots of different teachers who are fully using Canvas with their students completely for free. So while if your entire school wants to integrate Canvas, you might want to start looking at a paid subscription, a paid contract with them. But ultimately, teachers can get on and just start using Canvas and using, there's very limited in terms of what features aren't in the free for teacher version. So, I mean, if someone's interested, just Google Canvas free for teachers and they can get in. I know a lot of homeschooling parents who use Canvas and absolutely love it because they can use that free for teachers. Continuing education people, they're just in regular teachers. In terms of the Google, instead of using Google and all of those tools versus Canvas, Canvas actually integrates beautifully with all of the Google Drive. In fact, I personally use the whole collaborative suite with my students so that way they can do group work and submit their assignments that way. And, you know, so Google and the whole suite integrates directly into Canvas. Chromebooks and Canvas love each other because we do have a lot of schools in our area who have Chromebooks and give them to their students. And then we also have them using Canvas, obviously. It's actually a really nice integration. So I'm not totally familiar with Schoolology, but I would say in terms of Canvas and all of the Google products and Chromebooks, yeah, they work beautifully. And if you want to test it out, just get on that free for teachers and give it a whirl.
Chromebooks, why are Chromebooks, why have they become so popular? Probably part of it is, Ryan was talking about cost. They're pretty inexpensive, relatively speaking.
Yes. I think it's that they are relatively inexpensive. And then I also think that it kind of comes prepackaged with the whole Google suite. So you've got a word processing, you know, you've got your version of Excel, you've got their version of PowerPoint. So basically everything that you might have to pay a lot of money for in terms of the whole Office Microsoft suite, you can get free as part of the Chromebook, just built in, baked in. So I think that is really something that appeals to teachers and appeals to school districts when you can buy these low-cost laptops and then have them integrate so perfectly with this free software that then is available also online, available also on, quote-unquote, in like real a PC or Mac.
Somebody else wondered, how can classrooms use apps and devices as tools for and not distractions from learning?
Well, that's a classroom management. I know some classrooms where, for me, if the teacher is integrating the technology into what they're doing, then it's much easier to keep the students focused. So, you know, if you're having a great conversation and something comes up and the teacher's not sure, that's where you say, well, you guys have Chromebooks, let's look it up. And you ask the students. So instead of the teacher looking it up, the teacher is putting it back on the students. Well, let's research that. You know, everyone get on your Chromebook. You know, let's research that. Let's see, you know, let's try to find that answer and let's try to fact check each other if we're getting the right answer. So I think if you're pulling the students in as part of what you're doing, it makes it a little bit harder for them to kind of veer off. But I also know that there are some programs that some schools put on that prevent students from wandering off the path. So I'm personally, I'd prefer to leave it open and just kind of, you know, use some teaching practices to keep students engaged. But there is technology that will prevent that as well.
Kona Jones, our guest. Question or a comment for her? What do you think about technology and education? Or maybe you have a specific question about a software or a kind of technology? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Talk a little about online courses and how they work a bit for us.
All right. Well, obviously, I think they work great. But for me, it comes down to when you're designing and developing them, you really have to think about the student experience. And the biggest thing for me is humanizing that experience so that students don't feel like they're taking I might be aging myself, but I took a distance education course where it was basically I got a packet of materials and I filled out the assignments and I mailed them back to my teacher. And that used to be what was distance education. And today the online experience is much more interactive. Canvas has so many different ways that teachers and students can interact with each other. Students can interact, so you've got the peer-to-peer, the teacher to students. There's so many ways that you can interact. And I think it's that humanizing point. I actually have had students say, even though this is an online course, you're like actually teaching it. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of the point. But I think students come into it thinking it's going to be this lonely thing where I'm by myself sitting on the computer with no interaction and I'm just doing these assignments. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. If an online course is being done right, you're going to have lots of interaction. You're going to feel like you really are a part of a class. And that you are having that engagement. For me, I actually have students say, I talk with you more than I talk with my face-to-face teachers. And that means a lot to me, but that also you can do that in an online environment.
Well, and you mentioned face-to-face, and someone else wondered about the disconnect when you've got technology, the lack of face-to-face interaction. So staying connected with students while still incorporating the technology can be a challenge.
It absolutely can. And I think that's why when you're planning your course and you're planning your teaching as an educator, you need to think about what technologies are available. In Canvas, they've got a built-in tool called Collaborate, or Conferences. Collaborate is the Google integration. Conferences integrates using Big Blue Button, and it's a conferencing tool where students can actually see their instructor. The instructor could see the student if they've got a webcam, and they can actually have face-to-face conversations. I myself have had online conferences with students where we've had one-on-one. I've met with groups that way. I've met with an entire class where I'm like, hey, let's do a test review. And we'll actually be in this online classroom where they can see my face, they can hear me, they can see what's on the screen, so I can pull up different things. And it's just like a real class. You're not missing out by taking an online class. You're really not.
I was thinking about a student that I had this summer, and she happened to be in Europe.
Mm, exactly, yeah.
And we had face-to-face conversations every week, and it was a lot better than just emailing back and forth, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's other programs that integrate into Canvas. Pronto is one that I'm actually trying out right now. That's kind of a built-in, almost like an instant messenger, and it just pops up. And I mean, that's a third-party tool, but there's third-party tools. There's built-in tools with Canvas. Canvas just has a lot of partners that they were working with to make the experience even more amazing. So not that just the traditional Canvas experience isn't great for communication and doing what you need to do with your students. There's so many wonderful third-party partners that you can also integrate with Canvas.
Let's take another call. Mary in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling because one thing that I don't hear you talking about is the sort of opportunity cost of adopting new technology as it becomes available, however great it might be. And I had a personal story. I'm a high school teacher, and recently, as my school adopted new technology, my colleagues and I ended up having to transfer just tons and tons of curriculum that we had created from, you know, what was really, really cool when it came out a few years ago to what's really, really cool now. And it took dozens and dozens of hours, mostly unpaid, like stuff that teachers just do in the summer. And sometimes it seems like however cool the technology is, we don't always think through that cost and don't account for it.
Yeah. What do you think, Kona?
You bring up an excellent point. I would say, in fact, we actually have kind of a rubric type thing that we use where we do factor in what is the time. Recently, in fact, one of the things we just recently did, making sure that all of our courses meet accommodation standards, so make sure everything's accessible. We recently had to make sure all of our videos were captioned and that we are making those. And that's a lot of time for faculty and a lot of time for my office. And you're right, that's something that when you're just looking at, well, we'll just buy this new technology. Well, that's great. It's a new shiny technology. And let me tell you, I love it. It's RxStudio. It actually is a Canvas product. But there was a time investment, and we had to factor in how much time were we asking our faculty to put into doing that. And I think you're absolutely right. You have to, when you're thinking about moving to a new technology, it's not just the cost of the technology, it's the time, because your time is valuable. A lot of our faculty, a lot of teachers in K-12, they are already working, coming in early, staying late, working on the weekends, and asking them to do a little bit more sometimes is just kind of prohibitive. And you really have to look at, in fact, that's one of the things when we look at new technology is how much uptime, you know, how much time is it going to take to get this up and running and for our faculty to be able to actually have their content in a format that they need to be able to use it. So yeah, you've absolutely nailed something that's so important to talk about and to think about before adopting a new technology. Thank you.
Yeah, Mary, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate you. Did you get through the new switch?
We're still working on it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your call. So that is definitely a challenge. I don't know if you call it a downside. I guess you could. In many ways, from the teacher point of view, I know many teachers who have struggled, but then they were happy once it was finished, once all that extra work was done, they were happy with what they had.
Yeah, well, it's a cost benefit, and that's where, and at least for us, having kind of a rubric that goes through what are we really asking, and is this something that's feasible? But I also liken it to, you know, as a teacher, you know, you have to switch curriculums, you have to switch textbooks. And that takes a lot of time as well. And so for me, the technology is almost kind of factoring it in, similar to if you have to switch a curriculum, you have to switch a textbook. Switching technology, you have to take that, you know, that's a lot of weight that you have to come to bear thinking about how are things going to work out and how much time am I going to need to be ready.
Let's take another call. Tony in Tomahawk, your turn now. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Larry, you've done a lot of work around credit card fraud and other forms of financial fraud. I'm just wondering if anybody's investigating online courses and the very real possibility that people are fraudulently getting degrees when they really don't do the work. Other people are doing the work. Online has been hyped for about 10 years now, and I'm hearing anecdotally that, you know, the possibility of that is huge. Is anybody researching that?
All right. Kona, are you aware of any research going on in that area?
I know that there's some, the people kind of are looking into that, and that's why that we do have companies. I will say that we've recently used Respondus. There's other companies out there, though, that have various measures that try to ensure that the person in the course taking the exam, turning in the homework, is the person who they say they are. Often what I kind of liken this to, though, I don't check students' IDs when they come in my classroom. And I went to a college where it was well known that some students would pay other students to go into the classroom and take their exam for them. So I really, as much as I think online does, there's definitely, it's possible, and I know that it does happen. Face-to-face is just as prone to having these types of issues. So I think if anything, it's looking at bigger issue, the bigger issue of the cheating and those types of things, than maybe focusing in as much on online.
I do know that, Tony, I saw some national figures that online cheating on papers, for example, has increased. There's been a pretty good increase in that sort of thing. And how does technology help solve that problem, Kona?
So there's a couple different ways you can look at it. I know some schools will invest money in a product like Turnitin or something like that that will go through, and it can check against, all of these resources available online, all these articles will even check if a paper has been turned in by a different student or even that same student for a different class. So there are products that can check these things. I also find, though, if the teacher makes their assignment unique enough and individualized enough, short of the student paying someone to just do the paper, which there are paper mills out there where they do that. You can make it harder, but once again, how do you know the student turning in your paper in your class hasn't done the same thing face-to-face and on a, typed paper?
Right. Randy emailed to ask what we have in the U.S., how it compares to the more progressive and successful international education system, like those in Sweden or Finland or Japan, for example.
So interesting enough, Canvas is making great inroads all across Europe. They actually have a European Canvas conference just for our friends across the ocean there, and Canvas is actually growing quite a bit. So in terms of, being advanced, I think that they've got a lot going on in their educational programs, but they are also taking to Canvas. They're adopting it at a pretty high pace and seem to be really enjoying it as well.
Well, there was a CanvasCon event recently in Madison. How did that conference go?
Oh, I thought it went wonderful. There was just some amazing faculty there, amazing educators there that really were just focused on the good stuff, the teaching and learning and just how can we do our best. It was a great group, and yeah, I thought it was a wonderful event.
And as we look to the future, what do you have some predictions about what we might be seeing down the road 10 years from now or whatever?
In terms of technology and education?
Yeah.
These are kind of my personal ones, my personal things. I think you're definitely going to be looking at a lot of AI, a lot of artificial intelligence factoring into things. Morally, ethically, I think there's a lot of conversations that still need to happen, but I think AI is going to be coming into play. Also, I really think this idea of individualized learning, of mastery learning and individualized learning. So often students, they get the one and done. You take an exam once, you either pass or you fail, and regardless, you have to move on. And so if you really look at that mastery learning where the students have to really master something before they move on, I think that's really the way that we're kind of going to start going towards. But to do that, you can't think that a teacher with 30 students can sit down with all 30 students and do that, but with technology they can. And so for me, I really think those are some of the areas. I think the AI, but I think also that mastery learning with the individualized learning is really going to help, because in that way the teacher can kind of go around to the different students and see where they're at, help them where needed, but that technology is going to help keep them on the right path and help make sure they're getting what they need so they really are mastering that and not just one and doneing it.
Kona, a great pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much. I hope we have a chance to visit again. Appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Larry. This has been wonderful.
Kona Jones, Director of Online Learning, and she coordinates Faculty Academy at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. Great to talk with her about technology and education. I'm sure we'll be talking about that as time goes on. Well, I hope you can join us tomorrow. We'll learn all about the health of Wisconsin trees and forests. It's a Wednesday. That's Environment Outdoor Day. That's tomorrow at 11 on the Ideas Network. Stay with us, though. Lots more in store here. I'm Larry Mueller.
We are going to be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are going to be friends.